Good morning, everyone. And a very warm welcome to those who are in the building and those who will watch or listen to this virtually in a variety of ways. From now on, all our services every Sunday are both in church, and there will also be a service on Zoom. For those who can't manage either, we're still doing recordings on USB sticks. And if you could see Catherine McGurk to arrange to have a USB stick recording of the services each week. If you're able to come to church and would like to, Grace Graham is the person to contact to book a seat, because as long as the restrictions continue, we do have to still have social distancing, and so numbers are restricted. A very warm welcome to, well, especially Kyle and Ross, because they're actually in church. But I have to remember I'm speaking to the camera as well. A very warm welcome to all our young folk and the parents and the jigsaw leaders, those who are in church and those who are on Zoom or who will follow the service in whatever way. We all want to say a huge thank you to you all for the special video services and the different communications from you. It's been fantastic to maintain that connection throughout this difficult time, and I certainly have valued it enormously. I've still got some of the painted stones in my house and in my garden. And we pray and hope that we'll all be able to return to a more in-person form of jigsaw come August. I think these are all the intimations, unless anyone wants to remind me of anything I've forgotten, because there's usually at least one. No, it'll maybe come up later. We're here to worship God. God is love. And we are all his beloved children. We're only able to love one another because he first loved us. He was the origin of love and is always the source of love. And God's love is a perfect love which drives out all fear. So this morning especially, we're thinking about joy, which as well as love is what Christ, what God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit bring to our lives. So our opening psalm is just a few verses from Psalm 92. Oh no, it's Laura, sorry, I'm all muddled up. It's Laura Jane who's doing the readings. I'm throwing poor Grace here. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High.
Proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
To the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp.
For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kyle. And so we're now going to listen to our first song of the service. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. It's a difficult one not to sing along to, but the regulations don't say we can't dance a bit.
I'm so happy, so very happy. I'm stuck.
quite the same when we can't sing it, is it? But for those listening and watching at home, you can sing along. I'm now going to hand over to Grace for our jigsaw appreciation service.
Well, we're so lucky in this church to have such wonderful children who have helped us so much over the last year and a half. They've made rainbows and poppies for the church fence and garden, making Christmas cards for the congregation, doing an online nativity and Easter service, and we want them to know how much we appreciate them. We have given all the Jigsaw children a book or a voucher to buy a book of their choice. So we would like to say thank you, first of all, to Noah Finlayson, who enjoys playing with pirates and Lego. Ruby Younger, who enjoys colouring in and playing with friends. Caroline Orr, who enjoys dancing, swimming, helping on the farm, drawing and jigsaws. Jennifer Orr, who enjoys dancing, swimming, helping on the farm and playing games. Katie Storer, who enjoys drawing, painting and going to her dancing class. Laurel Finlayson, who enjoys unicorns and drawing. Rory Allison, who enjoys playing outside, playing his Nintendo Switch and football. And this is Jude Allison, who enjoys sharing his brother's book, and we hope he will join us when we get back to Jigsaw. Callan Mains, who enjoys playing with his little brother and having sleepovers with his big cousins. Here is a picture of Ollie Mains, who loves his big brother Callan. Rowan Nielsen, who enjoys rugby, taekwondo, and helping his dad drive a tractor. Ewan Allison, who enjoys playing on his iPad, football and reading. Andrew Storer, who enjoys rugby, cutting his Gran Isabel's grass and helping out on the farm. Ewan McFarland, who enjoys football, his trampoline and playing his Xbox. Aaron Sloan, who enjoys playing his Nintendo Switch, football and singing. Harris Nielsen, who enjoys football, taekwondo, playing his guitar and playing Fortnite on the computer. Lewis Sloan, who enjoys playing his Nintendo Switch, football and reading. Jack McFarland, who enjoys football, cycling and playing with his friends. Eva Nielsen, who enjoys dancing, singing and playing the piano. There is one Jigsaw member we have asked to join us in church today. It's a boy who is always smiling when he comes to Jigsaw, a boy who gives great cuddles, a boy who loves to ask questions and loves to chat, a boy who is a great reader, a boy who taught us wonderful dance moves, a boy who reads prayers for us in church, a boy who always remembers the stories we told in Jigsaw even after several weeks, a boy who's been coming to Jigsaw for 9 years. So who is this boy? Of course it's Kyle. So Kyle, would you like to come out? The Jigsaw leaders enjoy meeting all of the children at Jigsaw. We enjoy hearing your news, we enjoy telling you stories about Jesus, and we enjoy playing games with you, although you always win. We enjoy doing crafts with you, even enjoy tidying up after you. We enjoy praying with you and trying to teach you songs. We've missed not seeing you during the difficult pandemic, and we can't wait to meet up with you again in August, when our hearts will be filled with joy. Now we'll have Jack's going to read a prayer and then follow it by the Lord's Prayer.
But just before that, I'm going to butt in.
Sorry?
But just before that, I'm going to butt in. Because I want to say that we all enjoy everything that you leaders give to our children, our church. Every single one of us benefits so much from all your hard work. So we just wanted to say a wee thank you to you all. I know that you're sweet enough already, but I hope you won't say no to a wee thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you so much, Aileen. And thank you so much, Jane. And I think they all deserve a huge round of applause as well. What a fabulous team we've got. We wouldn't have so many wonderful children like Kyle and Ross and all the others if we didn't have you four. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And now we're going to hear Jack reading a prayer and saying the Lord's Prayer.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, who created the world, thank you for giving us so much to enjoy, new places to see, and new people to meet. Time to spend with other people we love. Help us to love and care for each other. Amen. We will now say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much to Jack. I thought it was rather poignant, actually, that he stumbled slightly over forgiving our debtors, because isn't that one of the most difficult parts of that prayer to live? So we've got another wonderful, joyful song, and again, please feel free to join in the actions. We haven't actually got flags in the church, but we can wave our hands as if we had flags. And let's get a bit of life into joy is a flag flying high in the castle of my heart. Well done. A few folk got an aerobic workout there. So I'm now going to invite Laura Jane to read from the Bible for us. Our reading today is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verses 22 to 30.
Jesus heals a blind man at Bethsaida. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees walking around." Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, "Don't even go into the village." Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.
Thanks, Laura Jane, and as we allow these two stories and the words to percolate through our hearts and souls, let's listen to a beautiful modern hymn, well, relatively modern, called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Audrey to come back to the keyboard for a moment. My reflections are called Can We See? And as I was listening to that music, I saw the intimation that I'd forgotten. And it's particularly significant because there's a very long-standing and very much loved and very special member of our church who can't see. She's blind. But every Sunday she gets the USB stick and she follows our service and she listens intently to everything. And today, Margaret Brown celebrates her 96th birthday. I wish I could sing it. I can't, but Audrey is going to play Happy Birthday, especially for Margaret Brown. Sending all our love to you, Margaret. So can we see? I woke up this morning and I couldn't see properly. Everything was dark and blurry. And then I put on my specs and it came into a slightly better focus. And with a better focus, I could see that my curtains were still drawn. And once I opened them, the light flooded in, and I could see clearly and well. And it made me think, what must it have been like for that blind man when Jesus healed him? He hadn't been unable to see just overnight because it was dark and he had his eyes shut and he didn't have his specs on. He'd been unable to see for years. It must have been amazing to be able to see clearly. And it's fascinating that this is the one, and I think the only miracle, which is a two-stage miracle. That with the first touching on his eyes and the spit, the man was able to see, but he saw people looking like trees walking. And so Jesus put his hands on his eyes again, and then he saw more clearly. Now, some of you I know have had cataract operations, and you've told me of the wonderful experience of being able to see clearly again, to see how bright and beautiful God's colourful world looks. But of course, that's not the only meaning of the word, to see. When someone explains a difficult situation or a difficult problem, we'll often say, "Ah, now I see." And the second half of today's reading sees Jesus asking his disciples, "Do you see who I am?" Even though he doesn't say it in those words, he says, first of all, first stage, who do people say I am? John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets, come the replies. And then Jesus, it's as if he puts his specs on. He focuses in on his closest followers. He's looking for specifics, not generalities. And he asks, "What about you? Who do you say I am?" I wonder what we would reply to that question. It's as if Jesus is asking us to put our specs on and open the curtains in a spiritual sense so that we can see him more clearly. And that will be different for every one of us, but it's something that's worth thinking about. But Peter's reply, absolutely correct, is, "You are the Messiah." A wonderful moment in the Bible. But it's only stage one. Because as we'll see in next week's reading, Peter's vision is only partial because very soon after this "You are the Messiah" declaration, Peter reveals that his understanding of Jesus being the Messiah misses the mark. Peter sees what he thinks he knows and perhaps what he wants the Messiah to be. And I know that I can be a bit like that. So can we see? in that opening our hearts way of seeing? Can we see Jesus? And can we recognize that, just like Peter, we see what we think we know of Jesus, but there's far, far more to him than we can ever know? And since we are all made in the image and likeness of God, I'm finding another question really helpful these days. Can we see Jesus in every single person we meet? I saw Jesus in William, a man who came and joined us this morning, sat in a pew, but then said he needed a bit of fresh air. And he's not come back, and I don't know why. But I'll keep praying for William, and maybe one day he will come back, and we can all see Jesus in him. There's a lovely story, and I've probably told it to you before. I'm sorry, that's what comes with old age. But it's about a monastery with a small number of elderly monks. It was getting really run down, and no one visited anymore. So in desperation, the abbot, the head of the monastery, went to speak to the local rabbi. Well, the rabbi sympathized and said, synagogues in much the same state. People are not interested in religion these days. But then he added to the abbot, but you've got an advantage. Jesus lives in your monastery. Well, the abbot went back and he shared this insight with the remaining few monks. And they all started looking at each other in a new light. Was grumpy old Arthur actually Jesus? Or was the arthritic brother Bruce Jesus? Or perhaps Rachel, the live-in housekeeper, was Jesus? Quickly, they all began to see and therefore treat each other with so much love and respect because that other person might be Jesus. And this made such a change that when a young man came and visited the monastery, he wanted to stay and join. And he was soon followed by many more. And families would visit and they'd have parties and picnics in the grounds of the monastery because that atmosphere of love and respect was infectious. Everyone could see the difference, could sense the difference. And that's what our church family and our community can and will become when and if we all treat each other as if the other is Jesus. Can we see? My prayer is, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. We want to see you. Amen. We now come before God in prayer. Loving, living God, because you made the world and intended it to be a good place and called its people your children, because when things seemed at their worst, you came to us in Christ to bring out the best in us. So, Lord, help us to see that goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Truth is stronger than lies. Because confusion can reign inside us despite our faith. Because anger, tension, bitterness and envy distort our vision. Because our minds sometimes worry small things out of all proportion. Because we don't always get it right. Lord, help us to see that goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Truth is stronger than lies. Because you have promised to hear us and are able to change us and are willing to make our hearts your home, we ask you to confront, reveal, forgive, and encourage us as you know best. Then let us open the eyes of our hearts and see that goodness is stronger than evil, love is stronger than hate, light is stronger than darkness, truth is stronger than lies. Lord, hear our prayer and change our lives until we see you in everyone and learn to love one another as you love us. Amen. Our final hymn is a beautiful, well-known old hymn that can be found in the hymn books at number 352, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues," and includes the wonderful line, "Ye blind, behold your Saviour come, and leap, ye lame, for joy." But just before that, I have an announcement to read. Many of you will already know, but in case you don't, this is my side of it, and that's the Kirk Sessions side. My dear friends, I am going to retire from parish ministry on the 27th of August this year. It has been a real joy and privilege to serve the congregation and parish of Forth St. Paul's for almost 5 years. I want to assure you all that I am not leaving Forth St. Paul's to serve at another church. I'm retiring from full-time work since I will be 66 in August. This month, June, I will have been working for 44 years, having begun my working life as a vet in June 1977, and then changing career to parish ministry with my ordination in July 2011. I pray that you will all continue to grow in your faith, be faithful always in prayer, and continue to show the gentleness of the Holy Spirit, the compassion of Jesus, and the love of God to one another and to everyone in the parish and beyond. And it comes with my love, my prayers, and my blessings. Let's now listen to "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues." have to say it's nice to hear an expert choir get the male and female voices merging beautifully there. We don't always manage it quite as well as that when we sang it, do we? Despite Audrey's best efforts. But now as we go out into the world, may we see Jesus in everyone we meet. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain with each and every one of us, today and forevermore. Amen.